You are listening to The Feast of Fools. Our very special guest today, multimedia artist Eric Rita, performing a cover of Britney Spears' Grammy Award-winning song, Toxic.
Oh, baby, can't you see? I'm calling. A guy like you should wear a warning. You're dangerous. I'm falling. There's no escape. It's too late. I need a hit. Baby, give me it. You're dangerous. I'm loving it. Intoxicate me now with your loving now.
Thank you so much. This is the Feast of Fools, and I am Fausto Fernos, your furry, furry, blue-haired pal. And I have here Madge's cunt doctor, Taylor E. Ross, also known as Link Pinks from the Feast of Fools show.
Good evening.
Hi. And also our very special guest today, the ever so cute and accordionist and the man who was just playing the beautiful cover of Toxic by Britney Spears, Eric Rita.
I don't think I've ever heard cute and accordionist together in the same sentence.
But yes.
I think well, it's lovely and talented.
Lovely and talented. And definitely that guy who did Eat It, Weird Al Yankovic. He's kind of, he was cute in his day. Now he's just sort of annoying, but. Well, today in the news, Alan Key's daughter comes out as a liberal rug muncher, and her father, Alan Keyes, joins Newt Gingrich, Dick Cheney, and Phyllis Schlafly as asshole parents who sell out their own children. If it wasn't illegal, they would have already been eaten alive by their mom and dad. The daughter of conservative firebrand Alan Keyes announced her homosexuality at a gay rights rally yesterday, publicly revealing for the first time what had been an open secret during her father's failed senatorial campaign, although he did get 30% of the vote. And 30% for Alan Keyes is 30% too much.
who are those 30% of people in this state? That's amazing to me.
Well, I think it's people who don't want to vote for a liberal, like... I mean, and I don't think Osama or Obama... Osama bin Laden. I don't think Osama bin Laden is very liberal, and neither is Obama. Barack Obama. So,
but he did garner a greater percentage of the vote than.
He basically was like it was his to take because 7 of 9 Jerry Ryan said, you know, I will not be taken to another sex club in her divorce from Jack Ryan. Mm. And so they decided they couldn't have that as a conservative Republican. So, nevertheless, Marsha Keyes says, I love my parents very much, and they love me. They just don't want a sodomite living under their roof.
So that's why they kicked her out.
They kicked her out because she eats pussy.
That's very loving and very Christian-like. You know,
Well, Madge Weinstein, when she was a 14-year-old girl, she was kicked out of the house, too.
I did not know this.
Yeah, it's a long story. But you can listen to Yeast Radio and hear about Madge Weinstein getting kicked out of the house.
Was that before Ethel Merman? Or
years, decades before this happened. This was like in the 1930s or 1920s.
I didn't know Madge was that old.
Oh, she's timeless. Oh, well, and also in the news today, Michael Jackson goes to the hospital. Michael Jackson was taken to the hospital with a flu Tuesday morning, delaying jury selection for a week in the singer's child molestation. This is really hard to say. Child molestation trial. That's a pun.
Child
right?
molestation trial?
Child molestation trial. The judge said Jackson had been on his way to court, but was taken to a hospital emergency room instead. He later told prospective jurors that Jackson was to be admitted to the hospital.
I heard that he had a cold, and what had happened is he blew his nose and it came off.
And some dog ate it.
Yeah.
I just love all this footage of him going to this trial because it reminds me of Sunset Boulevard. It's Gloria Swanson. He's ready for his comeback. He's ready for his big close up.
Now, Eric, do you think that Michael Jackson might ever make a comeback? Do you feel this is the interesting thing? Is do you feel he's guilty or not?
I don't know. I mean, part of me would hate to think that, he's a really talented guy, and I would hate to think that someone that talented and...
Then you didn't listen to his last album.
Well,
though.
That's true. But he's so, he is such a weirdo, so who knows? And now there's all this stuff coming up about, what's his name, the child star who's talking about looking at the books about STD with him. What's his name? The one,
Corey Feldman.
Yeah. But you know what? Come on. Corey Feldman was, 14, 15, and sleeping with all the hot women in Hollywood at the time, so he was just showing up a book about STD, you know?
Well, Corey Feldman also... If anybody watched The Surreal Life, is pretty, not on the same plane as any of us.
Corey Feldman has just got hired to do the musical version of Fatal Attraction that's coming
out. What is
he
going to play?
Fatal Attraction with Michael Douglas. He's playing the Michael Douglas role.
Oh, I thought he was going to play...
A musical version.
Yeah, can you believe that?
I thought he was going to play the rabbit that gets boiled. I'm a little bunny.
I did want to say one thing about Michael Jackson is that, we...
Are you still on that topic?
Yeah,
we are so ready to move on.
No, I just wanted to say that I think we really need to separate him as an artist and what we love and respect about him, but his personal life is another matter.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but he just seems like someone who's never grown up, he's
Yeah, well, that's a personal thing.
Well,
yeah.
Is that basically why you're an Andrew Dice Clay fan?
No. No, but Jacko, as they call him.
Yes. And this is the Michael Jackson, the king of pop. Not to be confused with the Chicago's very own Michael L. Jackson, the king of poppers, who last week was basically sent to prison.
He's not sent to prison.
He's been held in prison without bail.
At Cook County.
At Cook County Jail. Well, because I think he might have been on crystal meth and he ran over a taxi cab driver. The taxi cab, and he killed him in a huge fight. And so that's made national news. And the weekend before the big circuit party, he was a founder of the Hearts Foundation, which is one of the largest gay circuit fundraising disco party, also known as circuit parties for our gay audience. You know, there's straight people who watch a show or listen to this show. They sort of watch the website while they're listening to it. And they go, circuit party? What's a circuit party? So a circuit party is basically where a lot of gay men do drugs and dance in order to fight the diseases that come as a consequence of doing a lot of drugs.
And dancing. And
I have a question. What is the L in Michael L. Jackson?
I don't know. Love.
Love? Okay.
Well, it's the thing about these circuit parties...
I was hoping
parties,
for an ad lib from you.
And
Lana.
I want to... that I want to draw attention to is this is like Weight Watchers throwing an all-you-can-eat buffet to raise money for their organization.
Right, right.
Or a kegger for Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, it's not exactly the best thing. So, and there you go. Let's give them something to talk about here. Let's read some of our viewer mail today. We have a lovely, our good friend Amber reveals to us. Hello, boys. Nice podcast series you've got going on. Hey! Just giving ya a shout out from your lovely Amber over here on the East Coast. Or should I say Yeast Coast, because she just created a live journal weblog called Yeast Coast Amber. I guess it's a little tribute to our best friend, Madge Weinstein. So you know, and says Amber, you know I'm still loving it. Thanks for the nice words about me on your podcast. Hello, Mark. Nice to meet you. He's not here right now. He's at work. By the way, I am a boy, even though my name is Amber. It's a long story.
I want to know the story behind Amber's name. Maybe she'll write us back.
Amber, will you write us back and tell us why do you...
I mean, there's a French guy's name Michelle, but...
We want to know the long story.
Yeah, though. I want to know why your name is Amber. Fausto, you have great taste in music. Mark, you have great taste in men. Plus, I noticed that you mentioned that Apple stock. It just so happens that I'm in at $65 a share. Ooh, maybe Amber will get rich. So I am, like, really thrilled. I have an iPad Mini. Is that what your voice sounds like, Amber? Now, I am looking at the Mac Mini. Well, just so you know, I now am a member of LiveJournal, so I can have a weblog. So those of you who want to read Amber's journal, there'll be a post on this today's podcast. And for those of you who are tuning in, Suki Delacroix, the drunk Englishman that came to our house on Sunday, who recorded Monday and Tuesday's show, did make it home in one piece. It turns out that he had a friend who had just passed away. And so he showed up in our house at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, completely plastered, and did that car accident of a podcast that you just heard the last 2 days.
And it's a good thing that Suki doesn't drive.
Yes, it's a very good thing.
He admits it himself. He doesn't like to drive because he would
kill himself people. And half the city. Michael L. Jackson, look out. Still... From WandaWisdom.info. Dear Fausto, still, I laughed quite a bit listening to her try to form a sentence in regards to Suki Delacroix's mess. Have a super spectacular V-Day. Later, Wanda.
Isn't V-Day Vagina Day for Vagina
Monologues? Let me turn off this. So, my guest today here is Eric Rita, who is a multimedia artist because he writes plays... And you do all sorts of different things. You're a visual artist, mm-hmm. as well as a
writer, composer, writer, director, composer. Designer, musician.
And you just launched your own website selling
FourRingCircus.net. It's
FourRingCircus.net.
And it's a clearinghouse. Right now, it's mainly my designs and my sister's design, Jamie Rita. And it's everything from sock monkeys to t-shirts to scarves, all handmade. But the hope is that it becomes a clearinghouse for Chicago artists to come in and have a place to sell their art out to
so
the
we
world.
Can sell like our spare Feast of Fools t-shirts on your site?
Absolutely. Let's put them up
there. Oh, I'm just thrilled.
I'll go back and print some more up.
We have quite a few left from our shows. You know, those are actually, if you want to go buy one, I guess Eric will, you can keep it your eyes and ears. But actually, so there's some really wonderful t-shirts on that
site. And everything is limited edition. The idea is that, I mean, I hate going out to a club and seeing everybody wearing the same t-shirt, and I like things that are fun and unique. So the whole idea is that by doing limited editions, you never have to worry about going out and wearing the same t-shirt.
Are they signed and numbered?
They are, as a matter of fact. They are, like, they're all signed and numbered.
So do you think, like, that for a lot of silkscreen artists, that making a t-shirt is actually a pretty lucrative or actually a really intelligent way of... Is it four ring? The number four?
It's the number four ringcircus.net, like the circus net.
Us.net. I'm just gonna like look at some of the designs that you have here and let's comment on some of them. Okay, we're going through here. Four ring stuff t-shirts, and you sell a bunch of monkeys. Which was it seems like the weirdo monkeys are the ones. I love the spicy tuna shirt that you have here. It's like a sushi for the sushi lovers. And you make them in girl style shirts.
Yeah, we make them. That one was made especially really nice. For our lesbian listeners.
Isn't that nice?
It's spicy lovely. Tuna.
Yeah, Madge Weinstein might. But do you have them in extra, extra, extra large?
Absolutely.
Plus size. Absolutely.
Moo-moo style.
If there's any size that you guys don't see on the site, just go ahead and email me. All my information is on there. And,
so you basically
and we custom
make
order
them...
everything. I make they're all made in my apartment here in Chicago.
So if you have to sew two bed sheets together to make a shirt big enough for some of our friends,
why the laughing Reagan?
Just my little tribute to Reagan. I have an unhealthy Reagan obsession.
Oh, look at him.
Isn't he great? He's so
laughing because
he's so happy.
He's happy. He's like, I just killed 5,000 homosexuals.
No, well, when was that? Do you know what that picture's from?
It's from a benefit. It's from, it was a fundraiser that he had done during 1984 when he was running for his second term. And it's a picture. And I just loved it because it looks like he's laughing all the way to the bank. It's him in his tuxedo with a bunch of conservative Republicans.
Oh, we love conservative Republicans. There's a shirt here, tuxedo. And can you explain that? I guess it's just like a black shirt.
It was the idea was, you know, they have those tuxedo shirts out there that are the, you know, they printed lapels.
Those cheesy ones,
they're really
from the
cheesy
70s.
Ones. And this was kind of my minimalistic, because all my visual canvases, I do lots of word work, and I like just the way words look on a surface. Mm-hmm. And I think of most of these t-shirts as canvases. More
I think
than
you should
t-shirts.
Come out one with a piano tie. You remember that? It was really awful.
Maybe it would just say piano tie on it.
There you go.
So, and which was some of the shirts that actually the most, that sell the best?
Well, the one I have on now, the record one, is really, really
by
popular.
The way, and he has for you guys can't see Eric here on the radio, has these chiseled pecs that basically make any crappy t-shirt look good. So, and because these shirts are actually that good, they make them look even twice as good.
It's a t-shirt that makes my pecs look good.
It's actually the circle is a little bit distorted because you're, you know... Your breasts are almost as bigger
bulging.
Than... Well, your pecs are bigger than Madge's boobs.
I actually bust out of here a little bit. And...
Yeah, it's like he's like the Hulk coming out of his clothes here. And so,
are you using sex to sell products like...
We don't need to sell it because it's doing fine selling it by itself. What's the symbol that you have there? It's Adobe
line,
Acrobat or something?
Yeah, it's the appliance line. The whole idea is that... I was kind of done with irony, and I wanted to call things what they were. So I think that there's so many things in our life that are just, they're like appliances in our life, even if they aren't, you know, your stove. They're still an appliance in your life. So I really, a lot of the designs I have are in this line, and it's just taking items as they are and representing them as they are in the most minimal way I can. There's a whole line of music. There's a cassette tape. There's an 8-track tape. There's this record. There's a spicy tuna as part of the appliance line.
So you have I see that. Okay, so you have that. So basically you're just like, creating whatever the hell you feel like.
Yeah, actually, I have a line coming out right now. It's the breakfast line. I have
I like the breakfast line a lot. Where's that? Can we see?
Oh, it's that one's not up there. I'm still working on it, but it's going to be
ham and eggs,
bacon, eggs, nice. A glass of milk, and half an orange.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah. I want one of those. Yeah, it was like so. Let's talk a little bit more about your music and what. Can you tell us a little bit about what was going on in your mind when you decided to do a cover of Toxic by Britney Spears on the accordion.
Well, the whole accordion falsetto thing kind of started as a joke in college. I studied music in college, and it was mm-hmm. just kind of the thing that made the opera majors laugh when I would make fun of them. And who thought, you know? And then I found Tiger Lilies after that, and here's this guy that's doing what I do, and he makes a ton of money. And I thought, oh, that's great.
Who's Tiger Lilies?
Tiger Lilies is a British cabaret band they're most famous in the States for a musical called Shockheaded Peter, which is actually playing in New York right now. And
based on these ancient,
Heinrich Hoffmann, the morality tales for children.
They're very twisted.
Yeah, the boy who sucks his thumb, so the tailor comes in and cuts his thumbs off and he dies. Or the girl who plays with matches and she catches on fire and dies.
Edward Gorey, Charles.
Yeah, Adam. Yeah. But more so like
Germans,
Uber
very
German,
dark, yeah. twisted people.
Gee, really?
Who could have seen World War II coming, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't see that one coming at all.
Well, and part of it was, I think Toxic, you know, for whatever you think of Britney Spears, I think that tune is actually an okay tune. It's well produced, and they're using Eastern modes in it, and it won Best Dance Song for it at the Grammys.
Yeah. So it was Britney Spears' first and probably last Grammy she'll ever win.
But it really was kind of a matter of like, what's the most popular song that I can do in the most offensive way? And that's kind of...
When are you coming out with a dance remix version of it?
We need to get Moby on that.
Yeah. Well, for those of you guys know, Taylor, the cunt doctor here, and me, Fausto, went to Eric Rita's house early one Saturday morning because he was recording...
Sunday.
It was Sunday. And
the Lord's Day.
The Lord's Day. We went to Eric's house and sat in his yard in sub-zero temperature and watch him record three songs because he was trying to audition for Shockheaded Peter. How did that audition go? Did you win?
I haven't heard anything back yet. So if anybody's listening from Shockheaded Peter, look for my materials.
What's going to be a tour that was going to go around the country.
Yeah, well, it's off Broadway right now, and it's supposed to be open-ended off Broadway, and then they're going to turn it into a tour. And the word is that they're going to recast in early spring, because mm-hmm. the Tiger Lilies are actually going to leave it. I kept watching the weather reports all that week. I was so excited. It was supposed to be in the 30s, which is tropical for this time of year. And we were in this depression of a torn down building.
And most Chicagoans can deal with 30-degree weather
absolutely.
Quite easily. You know?
And then it was 6 degrees.
It's like light jacket weather.
I couldn't feel my fingers when I was playing. I couldn't feel the keys to play.
I knew you were literally trembling. I thought you were just nervous. But you
a little
did.
Bit.
I was a little nervous, but it was more
nervous.
The cold.
You're more like, please don't hate me for freezing you to death.
I gave you eggs. I gave you coffee.
But you gave me eggs and coffee, and they were delicious. And of course, you know, all your friends are extremely attractive. And
I have some good-looking friends.
Which of the video clips did you use? Did you use the one with the backdrop in the adjacent lot or inside?
From outside, but then I used the other ones from inside.
The outside was visually stunning.
It was great,
because
wasn't
you had these. Dead trees.
Yeah, it was a house that was built at the turn of the century that was falling apart. It had been abandoned for 50 years. The woman died and her family didn't want to do anything with it.
They tore it down.
The neighbors bought it and tore it down, and all that's left is the basement, just this depression of a basement.
It was beautiful.
The footprint.
It was really
the
beautiful.
Footprint.
Well, that's wonderful. Let's listen to, and this week in music news, Fantasia Barrino came out with her brand new album. Let's listen to a little bit of it and see if it was last season's American Idol worth it.
This is me.
Oh, work it, honey. Come on, give it a little shout out to Fantasia.
Ooh, yeah, work it, girl.
Uh-huh.
Girl, you know you got it.
This is
on.
Who I am, a woman with big lips. Oh my God. Well, you know what?
Fausto, I do have a question. When is Victoria Lamar going to be on American Idol?
I don't think they can handle Victoria Lamar's intensity. For those of you who don't know who Victoria Lamar, you can go to our movies site and watch her Feast of Fools little plug. Which is quite delightful.
And you could also see her on insanefilms.com, too.
Well, one thing about auditioning, and you have done this more than any of us, is that it puts you in a very strange mental space. Can you talk a little? You've auditioned for The Wizard of Oz, right?
Right, which I did for 2 summers, and I played the Munchkin, the mayor of the Munchkin City.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm not an actor anymore, right there.
Really?
No. I haven't acted in about 3 years. I haven't done a show in about 3 years because I've been, you know, working on writing and producing and getting my own work up.
But you're a formally trained musical theater actor, and you can handle the best with all the rest.
Yeah, but auditions are terrible. Auditions are like the ultimate potential for rejection.
What do you think its effect is on a lot of young talent and musicians?
I think a lot of people are really traumatized by auditions. I mean, to become a good auditioner takes as much training as becoming a good actor because it's such a different process. So much of auditioning is just purely not getting cut. All you want to do is to make it to the next round. That's all auditioning is. Where, you know, doing the show, you actually have time to build, you have time to create a character, and all the people want to see in an audition is if you can make it through the audition, and if you can, and then they'll let you do some material.
So, like, what is an example of how, what is some of the quality or attributes an audition
is a lot for, of it is look, and a lot of it is presence. I mean, a lot of actors are really concerned about, and this sounds crappy, but a lot of actors are really concerned about their craft in an audition. But really, like, even, you know, now that I've been on the other side of the table so much of what it is purely your look. Do you look good in the show, and is your sound right? Because, you know, the artistic team knows exactly what they want for their show.
And they're, you know, usually they're going to do a rhinestone, you know, mm-hmm. for those of you, the movie with Sylvester Stallone and Dolly Parton, where Dolly Parton and her manager take a bet that they can turn anybody into a country western star, and Dolly says, well, the next guy that shows his face, I'll, you know, raise that bet, and Sylvester Stallone is the cab driver, and it's one of the most embarrassing and
it's
the worst Dolly Parton film ever made,
and one of the worst musicals ever.
Nature versus nurture plot lines, you
exactly
know?
And so pretty much basically I think that a lot of the as a theater producer, I don't do formal auditions because I'm not interested in that
perfection.
Well, I'm not interested in perfection, and I'm definitely not
interested. Actually,
you like the
imperfection.
This is why we do podcasts.
Right.
Well, and I think that's what's so great about what you do is it's this great venue for people to just perform. People who love performing get a chance to perform rather than worrying about, you know.
Well, I have a question in terms of when you do an audition. Since you've been on both sides of the situation, is what does how much does charisma play
it's
into
huge.
It?
It's huge. I mean, how much
it's
you command
charisma.
The room. Yeah, it's all charisma and look. It's all how you command the room, how you command your material, how comfortable you appear, and then also how you look, if you look right for the role.
Can you develop charisma, or is that just something that's innate?
I think you can learn to be more outgoing, but I think
drinking helps a lot.
Absolutely.
Suki should be on Broadway.
He has been on Broadway.
No,
in the alley,
not in the gutter.
Vomiting.
All right.
Okay, let's get
beating on him.
I think the problem with shows, as much as I enjoy watching American Idol, but I think that it's part of an industry that has a core fundamental soreness or it's rotten in the core, is that it's creating this idea that you either have to be accepted by this panel or give up on your dreams.
Right.
And as you and I and Taylor all aware of, is that you certainly, if you really want to be a musician or a performer or a writer, just go on and do it make it for yourself.
I think American Idol is all about homogeny and all about mediocrity. It's all about you have to sing exactly like they want you to sing. It's about perfecting that particular style rather than really looking at someone's talent and what unique thing they can bring to the table.
Because seriously, I think Frenchie Davis should have won last year's competition. And instead, we got the ever so charismatic Clay Aiken.
Who's supposedly terrible to people. Like, it's just,
he's like a young Barry Manilow. Oh. And that says it all. That's like on a sexual level and
he performs
musical
in bathhouses with a diva.
Oh my God. Yeah, he performs by lifting his legs up. Oh, somebody's calling us on the phone.
Someone...
Who's here? Let's see. Hello? Oh, it's Mark Phelan. Say hi, Mark.
Hello.
Hi, what's going on?
Hey, I'm bowling. Are we on the air?
You're live on the air.
Are you guys taping?
No, we're just talking to you.
Oh, you are, but you're not taping?
Yes, we're taping. We're taping.
Hey, Marky.
Hi, Mike.
So listen to this this week's fabulous, fabulous news item from Wired.com.
What is it?
So celebrities are obnoxious in public and throw temper tantrums. That's
oh,
a news item. Yes. Melanie Griffith at the Apple store says, one employee said, at first I was like, oh, cool, it was Melanie Griffith. But when she opened her mouth and used me as a doormat, I was like, what the fuck is this shit? Hey, milk money sucked. Melanie Griffith was throwing a temper tantrum because she couldn't get a pink iPod mini. Like the kind you got for Valentine's Day.
So what is Apple sending her one for free now because she didn't get one in pink?
I think someone's sending her a mail bomb. And it exploded in her face. And that explains
I think
that.
Apple store should wait for Madge Weinstein to show up
you
at
know?
Their store and go off about it.
Oh, yeah. They love to, you know, have little tenter tantrums in public. And they get what they want. Now she's going to get one in the mail, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
So I'm bowling.
Okay,
I'm
did
losing.
You win? Did you do well?
No, we got swept tonight. And then I'm playing an extra game afterwards. But at least I'm playing with the hockey.
Is there any hot guys there?
But, other than that, I'm losing. Can you hear the pin?
No.
Not at all?
I heard it.
Okay.
Well, listen.
I won't keep you too long. I just wanted to call in and check in and say hi.
Thanks for calling, Mark. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, Mark. Bye.
Bye. Good luck.
So when is the Crystal Skull going to call us?
Later next week. Actually, a really interesting phone interview that I'm in the process of setting up is with Leslie Hall, the gold pants lady, who you might have heard, and we can certainly play some of her music. Let me see if I can find it here from this gold pants. Oh, well. Anyways, this week's award of Asshole of the Week goes to LeVar Burton, who began shouting at me to ask anyone in the store who he was. Do you know who I am? I'm the blind black man from Star Trek Next Generation. All the while telling me that he left his ID in the car and he didn't want to go get it. It's basically the same Visa card where, celebrities are going to pay with their Visa and they're like, can I see an ID? And they're like, don't you know who I am? Well, this actually happened to LeVar Burton, and he flipped out. Finally, the employee had to cave in, only because he could see a vein pulsating in LeVar Burton's forehead and didn't want to be the one responsible for causing the blind dude from Star Trek to have a stroke in the Apple store.
Didn't he wear those glasses?
Oh, like the banana clip thing?
Yeah, obscuring his eyes. Maybe that's why they didn't recognize him.
Well, all those kids in the Apple store, they all grew up with Reading Rainbow. I mean,
yeah, Reading Rainbow.
At least Roots.
I know.
He's Kunta Kinte.
Please, Kunta Kinte. How many beatings does it take to be nice? You know? Jesus. Kunta Kinte could be a little nicer. He was like, don't you know who I am?
You're Toby.
Kunta Kinte. I was like, no, you're the blind guy from Star Trek.
Take a look. It's in a book.
I thought that was John Amos that played Kunta Kinte.
No, he was old Kunta Kinte.
John Amos?
Yeah.
Isn't
that
a white guy?
Good Time.
Kunta Kinte.
The guy from Good Time.
Well, and the Nice Guy Award of the Week goes to vegetarian singer Andre 3000, who poses for pictures in the Apple Store with all his friends and put his pictures on the desktops, on the computers. Isn't that nice?
That is nice.
So we're going to play a little Hey Ya, even though it's like the most annoying song of 2004. Okay, That's just about as much as I can
nice
listen
fade.
To. What?
Nice fade on that.
Except basically get rid of the hell rid of this shit. Okay. Well, what else can we do? This week, Hillary Clinton ripped George Bush a whole new asshole. In the Drudge Report, she says that Bush, who campaigned as a compassionate conservative in 2000, had taken a hard right turn to pursue an extremist agenda after moving into the White House. No shit. This is like, you know, so many people are like reporting the obvious. Like, celebrities are jerks in public. I don't know where it came from, but the fact that President Bush has not only been radical extremes in terms of Democratic presidents, but in terms of Republican presidents, including his own dad, she says. She believes Bush Jr. is beatable next year, although how can he be beatable since he's not ever going to run for any political office, only the office of worst president
I
ever.
Think what she's referring to are the midterm elections for Congress and Senate.
Well, please get, you know, if you want, if you're under the age of 55 and you want to collect, unemployment?
No, Social Security.
And Medicare, and basically not be a homeless crazy person when you turn 55, please get rid of any Republican you can by any means necessary. And let me just say that. Any means necessary.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thanks for putting into words, Hillary, what we were all thinking.
And couldn't articulate ourselves. Yeah.
George Bush is an asshole. Thanks, Hillary Clinton. You know, I'm just worried. It's like they're going to put Hillary Clinton. She's such an obvious choice for next terms. You know.
They're never. No. Ugh. It's not going to happen.
They got to, you know, Howard.
I love her personally, but she is too controversial in terms of her.
They
are rabid about. You know, they were rabid about Bill, but they were even more rabid about Hillary, and that's why they came down on her and her healthcare.
They don't like uppity women.
Well, yeah, I mean, nothing would make the world a better place if Hillary Clinton actually was president of the United States.
You could run her against Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah.
Condoleezza
Rice. The best name, I would say, if any Republican... It's like Bush, Condoleezza, and Dick.
Dick.
It's like, oh, I love it. And they all hate their lesbian daughters because their names make them scared. I don't know. Did you vote for in the last election?
Did I?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I felt like I was
in a blue
really...
state, but
what?
We're in a blue state, so you know, like it was kind of a landslide here for
well,
Mr. Kerry.
We did vote for some gay things.
Right.
I don't know what they were. I was just like bringing my
Should we
sheet.
Kill all gays? No.
Yeah. Yes or no? I don't know. So are you working on any new projects, Eric?
Yeah, well, I just got done with Around the Coyote. I directed this really, really great play by this young playwright named Philip Dawkins, who is really, really hot shit here in town, who has a number of projects going around. And I'm working on composing my first opera, which is a one-act based on Reagan. It's called Reagan's Children. It's based on the statements Reagan's children made at his funeral. So it's more of a cantata, really. It's more of an oratorio.
Really interesting.
Yeah, it's really... I'm having a great time
Especially Nancy Davis' comments.
Right.
Nancy Davis.
Nancy Reagan, Patty Davis.
Well, yeah. She was Nancy Davis before she got... Okay. But yeah, it's really... I mean, it's really telling what the kids say.
For those of you...
You really look at the... It's so interesting coming out of his death and looking at what Ron Reagan Jr. was saying. I mean, one that he kind of jumped party lines to speak out
at the Democratic National Convention about stem cell research.
But even in his statements at Reagan's funeral, he says he talks about how his father was a religious man, but he never wore it on his sleeve, and he never saw pursuing his moral opinions as a mandate from God, just as a responsibility.
Basically, his children said that my dad wasn't as evil as Bush.
Yeah, which is amazing. It's amazing.
Well, nobody likes... Even the Republicans don't like Bush.
Yeah.
It's like they made a deal with the devil, and now they're like, what do you mean you want to get rid of Social
Security? No, the Reagans hated the Bushes. And in fact, I think they only invited them once in 8 years for lunch or... dinner or something like that.
Amazing.
But the Reagans never liked the Bushes. Yeah. And they were just like, you know, under their shoe, you know.
Well, that gum has gotten to from their shoe to their hair to the hair on their twats now.
No, but Ron Jr., he did a piece that was in the, not the Enquirer, the Esquire magazine.
The Esquire, right.
And saying why you should, you know... not vote for Bush. Mm-hmm. And I think
Patty Davis did similar things in People magazine.
Right. Eisenhower's grandson did a piece on why you should not vote for George Bush. Wow. That he was not this...
But did they listen?
No.
No,
but Eisenhower's grandson was saying that these kinds of Republicans that are in power now are vastly different than the kinds of Republicans that existed in the 50s and in the 60s. Right.
Well, the only one who seems to be hoeing the party line in the Reagan family is Michael Reagan, who's the conservative talk show host now. I mean, he's kind of...
Well, every family has a black sheep.
Right. Well, and he's also the adopted kid.
In this case, it's a white sheep.
The white sheep.
You know, if anybody wants to basically undo and have any chance of freedom, happiness, destroying the world, please, please put the same effort in this next year's election.
Well, the saddest thing that is happening right at this moment are these judicial appointments that are now, he's brought them back up and they're trying to get them through.
Torturer Mike through the Senate. Gonzalez.
Who... Right. Well, and when Rehnquist having cancer, you know, and he could appoint 3 to 4 more Supreme Court justices and really tip the scales in terms of what's going to happen for the next 30 years in our judiciary decisions.
I know. It's not a... It's gloom
get
and doom.
Get the coat hangers
forecast,
out.
Forecast is cloudy. So, and speaking of saying things like Hillary Clinton that we were all thinking, comedian and host of this year's Oscars, Chris Rock, says that straight men don't give a shit about the Oscars. And I agree. Actually, most people don't give a shit about the Oscars. But... what's an Academy Awards show without some controversy? Listen to some of the comments Chris Rock made about, you know, and this is why Chris Rock is fabulous, because he's about to host the Oscars, which means money, fame, you know, it can be very good for his career. And yeah, he sticks to his principles and says, I never watched the Oscars. Come on, it's a fashion show. What straight black man sits there and watches the Oscars? Well, except for maybe Star Jones's husband. Show me one, the comedian added. Nothing against people who aren't straight, but what straight guy that you know cares? Who gives a fuck? Keep it up, Chris. Your hosting could rival that of David Letterman in the category of best Oscar night disaster.
This story comes from Matt Drudge, and Matt Drudge is a very...
He's insane.
He has an agenda that is...
What's his agenda?
Well, they really are. I mean, the Oscars really are the gay Super Bowl of the year. You know?
Absolutely, and it comes right after the Super Bowl. So, you know, why not have it, you know? Basically, something to do on Sunday, because the Grammys was last week. Next week is going to be the Simpsons Super Bowl, where they reveal the new gay characters. And have you guys been seeing the Homer making love to himself in the commercials?
No.
It's so disturbing.
What is the lead up in this story? Because I haven't been watching The Simpsons.
Basically, it's going to be a Simpsons episode where one of the characters comes out as gay that has not previously been gay. And
so it's not Smithers.
It's not going to be Smithers. It's not going to be the obvious choices. Let me put it to you out there. It's not going to be any of the main characters. It's not going to be Lenny. It's not going to be Patty or Selma. It's not going to be Smithers.
I thought one of the sisters was gay.
She is sort of. She, you know, it's hinted around, but it's never. You know, it's going to be something that'll surprise you. Sort of like the episode when they had
the shooting.
The shooting when the Maggie was the one who did it. You won't see it coming.
Right.
But what you will see coming is all week long on Fox is the commercials of Homer making love to himself, which is really
disturbing. So ironic that the programming they have on Fox television, it seems very left wing or very liberal.
Well, the news aren't,
but the what control the news and, you know, Rupert Murdoch owns the station.
Well, nobody wants to watch the Charlton Heston Comedy Hour. It's like they want...
Well, he would be drooling on himself in Adult Depends if that was the case.
Actually,
because he has Alzheimer's, you know.
Oh, he does?
He does?
Oh, that's great news.
Didn't you know that?
I didn't know that.
He announced that about a year or two, because he had to resign from being the president of the NRA.
I thought it was just because of that Michael Moore film.
He was just too embarrassed. No, he has Alzheimer's.
I thought he just thought he was in the Planet of the Apes and pulled out a gun and started shooting everybody. He thought it was his old movies. Well, you know, to be frank, I really don't care about the Oscars either. I do like Oscars parties, but I don't like it when people are like, shh, the Oscars are on. The celebrities are talking. And we can't comment on J-Lo's dress.
Are there any award shows that you do like? Are you like a Tony's fan?
I like them
fan,
all. I mean, like a... well, I'm not, except
did you watch
the
Grammys?
Yeah. TiVo, listen, anybody who does not have a TiVo right now,
or some sort of television hard drive.
ITV, anything that you can get to basically scan past those horrible commercials.
Okay.
You know, go out and get one because it will save your mind and your sanity. Just like this podcast, if you're bored with something that I'm talking about, you can just hit that scan button and go to the podcast you really want
to hear. I haven't seen that. I was trying to do that with the show the other day.
Yeah, well, have an iPod.
Ah.
I was
listening to it at work.
Well, you can scan through
it. I'll have to listen to it through iTunes.
Yes, you're not stuck there listening to this, you know, 50-minute show. You can... Hey, wake up. So, we want to thank our guest today, Eric Rita, who's been so wonderful. And hopefully... you'll be tuning in to those delicious zingers that Joan and Melissa Rivers will be dishing out on the red carpet. Will you be watching?
I'll probably be watching.
Do you watch at home?
I have a question.
A quick question. The interview's over.
Why are the Oscars at the end of February as opposed... they used to be at the end of March.
Why are the Oscars...
I don't. Is it a marketing thing? To me.
They used to be at the last weekend in March. Now they're in the last weekend of February.
They probably push it up so they can make more money during the wintertime on them. I mean, it's all about the turnaround anymore. And really, I mean, all those award shows are such marketing tools anyway anymore.
Maybe they felt that they were clashing with Easter and
Or maybe it was to get
Passover.
It closer to Super Bowl so we could have that.
Oh, I think it's the Super Bowl for sure. Okay. Yeah, it's a roller coaster ride. You have Super Bowl, then you have Grammy, and then you have Oscar. Well, you have Simpsons gay episode, and then you have the Oscars.
You know, I don't watch much TV, but the program right now that I'm addicted to is Project Runway. Have you seen this show?
No, what is it?
I hate reality TV, but this show is, I do, but Project Runway is, they have 12 clothing designers that they got together, and they're being eliminated each week on fashion challenges, and at the end the three remaining ones now, which is pretty amazing, are all going to Fashion Week to have their full line, and the winner's going to get $100,000 to start their own line. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I'm obsessed
with
it.
And the losers have to wear their creations.
Well, the brilliant thing is that, you know how in the fashion world you're in or you're out? So you're either in or out. If you're out of the show, they tell you, oh, I'm sorry. Heidi Klum, the model, comes up and goes, I'm sorry, you're out. It's great.
Is it hot or not?
What channel is it? Bravo, the gayest network.
They should just come out of the closet, that Bravo network.
Gay TV.
Bravo is the gay channel, and actually there's MTV's launching its own gay channel logo, which Madge Weinstein and I both auditioned for the gay comedy talk show mess. They were basically trying to recreate the Match Game. But with a media-friendly Queer Eye for the Straight Guy cast. And we sent our audition videos, and they were very interested, I think, until they actually saw the videos and saw how we actually look like in the flesh. So, because Photoshop, you can retouch pictures. So, you can go
Maybe you can develop a program to do Photoshop for video.
Well, they have it.
You've become rich
and
famous.
There is. It's called After Effects. They did it to Whitney Houston at one of the Grammys in the past, and they're actually, like, leaked out unedited versions of the same photo, and you could totally see how they basically took her anorexic body and made her look like a Playboy bunny,
They have something for recording, too, now, which is pretty amazing, which is called, like, InTune or TuneUp.
Melodyne is what it's called.
Oh, okay, yeah. Where it, like, automatically tunes the voice when you're singing.
It's beautiful. Actually, Apple's built it into GarageBand, although it does make you sound more like Cher's I believe.
The robot voice.
Yeah, do you believe in life after love? See if I can find that song for you guys. Are you a Cher fan, Eric? Or
she's an icon. You gotta love her because she's an icon. I mean, I don't know about this whole farewell tour for five years in a row.
Yeah, it's absolutely been going on forever.
But I want to see her. I want to see a farewell to farewell tours.
I saw her in Phoenix because we went to see her what's her name? She's so unusual. Cyndi Lauper.
Oh,
who
yeah,
is fantastic.
She's yeah.
But fantastic ended up course. Really, really loving the Cher concert. It was quite the production. It was a fun time. Bungee dancers and stuff like that.
Oh, I hear Cher. You know, that's
I'm
our,
getting goosebumps.
Yeah, see, I'm getting goosebumps yeah. too. You know, that's our producer telling us that we've run out of space on the hard drive. So I really want to thank Eric Rita for coming onto our show. And Taylor E. Ross, the Madge Weinstein's conductor, who's working on a theme song for the Crystal Skull and the Feast of Fools online show.
That's true.
And our News of the Day theme song, too. So stay tuned as we develop and grow the show into something that you just can't escape.
And we want to hear from Amber.
And we want to also do a shout out to Jason Smith, who's shot all these beautiful photos that I'm using as the icons. So if you actually go in to view the artwork for these shows, you can see pictures of me and Eric Rita and Taylor and all our friends. So, and stay tuned next week where we're going to be interviewing Gold Pants Leslie Hall. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to do a three-way with Madge Weinstein. But I'm not going to tell you when it's going to come on, so you just have to listen to the show. Thank you so much, guys, for coming. I'm Fausto Fornos, and this is the Feast of Fools. Say bye.
Good night.
Bye, everybody.